Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to our home group meeting again. My heart's kind of heavy tonight. I found out that a real father in the Lord, a contemporary of Charles Hahn, Wade Taylor, founder of the Pinecrest Bible Training Center, passed away the end of March. And he was 87 years old. And I remember the first time I met Wade Taylor was in Apopka, Florida. And we were all sitting around. And Wade Taylor was one of the most humblest men I've ever met in my life. And so it was sad that I heard that he passed away. But in that sadness, there's a little bit of joy also, that our hope and prayer is he's with the Lord, and we just need to keep his family in prayer. And we just, you know, thank you for that. Well, it's the end of the three-part series that I've been teaching on the law, working within the law and investment. It's been a really, really good series, and I hope this really blesses your heart. But before I get into work within the law, I'd like for us to go back and point our spirits back a little bit last month at some important points that we had that I shared. And the first one is God expects a harvest. He expects an increase and a return when we invest into people's lives, what he gives us. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to invest those things that God gives us into people's lives. And God expects a harvest. He expects an increase and a return in that. And the second point is, God is not so concerned about the work involved in that investment. He's concerned about the investment. He's concerned about what we are investing in the lives of others. It's not the work that makes the investment happen, but God is truly concerned about what the investment, what that investment is that we are investing in people. Because the spiritual truth is, whatever is planted grows. He's very concerned about what we plant. But we plant into our brothers and our sisters' lives. And the last point, and a very, very important point, is we invest in our brothers and sisters. We invest the things that God gives us into our brothers and sisters to see them come into the kingdom of God, which is not heaven, but to come into the kingdom of God. And if you come into the kingdom of God, then you will go to heaven. But the kingdom of God is joy and peace and love and the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is within us. It is within us. And the things that we invest in the lives of people is not so that someone can run off to heaven. Oh no, it's so that while they're down here on earth, they'll be able to walk in the fullness and the grace of God and walk in His power and walk in His might and in all of those things that God has for us now. So many Christians today are waiting for waiting till we all go to heaven. Well, God wants us to have heaven on earth, and God wants us to be able to move in His power and His ability and His might down here on earth. And then someday in the sweet by and by, just like with Wade Taylor, he will take us to heaven to where we will learn what we will be doing in the next life. Remember that as Christians, we're going to be living forever and ever and ever. And don't think we're just going to sit in heaven forever and ever and play a harp and do all that stuff. God's got plans for us. And we're going to be working on and on with the Lord. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 7:22. And for those that are here, you have your teaching handout, and the scripture is already there. But for those that are listening over the internet, Matthew 7:22, a really interesting verse, probably a very sad verse, and I hope this verse is not a fulfillment of our lives. But it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name they have cast out demons, and in thy name I have done many, many wonderful works. Wow. Many will say in that day, well, that day is when they stand before God, and they're saying, but Lord, you know, we prophesied in your name, and in thy name we cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Clearly, the work is being done. There's no question about that. God's work is being done here. But God has different qualifications than what we do. In this verse here, the speaker, the Christian that is speaking this, he was talking about prophesying and casting out demons and doing all of these wonderful works. But God has a different qualification than we do. We think that if we are swift to foot, we will win the race. Well, not so. Not so in God. The race is not to the swift, but to the or the steadfast. The race is not to the swift to foot and to the strongest and the bravest and all that good stuff. But the race in God is to the swift, to the steadfast and the obedient. The race in God we win is to the steadfast and the obedient. Our wondrous walk with the Lord is just that. It is a walk with Him. And the winner of that race, it's not a running race, oh no, it is a walk with Him, and as we walk with Him, then He can share us, He can share His heart with us. And the winner of that race is the one that is steadfast and is obedient. We think because we are mighty and strong, and the battle is ours, and we're going to win, well, God does not think like that. In 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, if a man also strive for mastery, the word mastery there is translated victory, yet he is not crowned. What? He's not crowned, but, you know, he's got this great victory, but he's not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And that word lawfully is an interesting word, and we'll look at that. So in God, the winner of the race, you know, the victor of the race isn't crowned unless he does it lawfully. There is a work and there is a walk and there is a striving. And the person may come out ahead and they may even win. But that doesn't make any difference to God if they do not do it lawfully. If we run the race that the Lord has for us, and we do it outside the law, then we will be disqualified. That was one thing that Paul was always so concerned about. And in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul was always talking, and he was always concerned that he would go ahead and minister and do all of these wonderful things and teach all these wonderful truths, but in the end, he would be disqualified. I think that's one of the saddest things, is for someone to minister in God and do all of these things, and then at the end, God has to put them up on the shelf, and they're disqualified. My, that would just be horrible. But winning in God, it does not matter who is first or who is last. They say, if you cross the finish line first, you know, you're going to win. Well, not so in God. It doesn't matter if you're first or last. But it matters how you play the game. It matters how you play the game. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:23, which is the continuation, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that word iniquity is a really interesting word. It is translated lawlessness. Lawlessness. And it's not the lawlessness that we are looking at as breaking the law or a thief or a robber or something like that. That's not the way that word is used. But that word is, or working outside the law. Working outside the framework. Working outside the way that God has things planned and ordained for our life. Amen? I never knew you because you worked outside my framework. God told that Christian, I never knew you. It's not that you didn't know me because you knew my power and you knew my abilities and, you know, because you prophesied and you cast out demons and all these things, but I never knew you because you work outside the framework that I established. Even if we did them, and God was definitely glorified in all these, but because we worked outside that framework, God did not know us. God did not know us. Amen? We must walk and work within the principles that God has ordained for us. We must walk and we must work in the principles that God has ordained for us, for God to know us and for God to reward us. And that is a tremendous truth that a lot of Christians today refuse to, you know, the way most Christians believe, they can do whatever they want, say whatever they want, go wherever they want, do all of these things, and expect God to bless them. Well, that's not the way God works. God has a process, and He's got a formula. He's got a way that He establishes things on earth as it is in heaven, and He wants them to be done according to His principles and not our principles. And if God ever had to change His principles to suit us, don't think that we've done anything wonderful. We haven't. Actually, we have forced God to do something that He does not want to do. And believe me, that is not, you know, that is not God's idea. And God will do that. I really believe God will do that. He will change up some things in our lives and some things that He wants to happen, only because He knows that the work that He wants to see done in the life of that individual could be lost. And He doesn't want that, because the Bible says He wishes none to be lost, no, not one. Amen. God is saying in this, what I want from you, and this is the picture, this is what I want you to look like, this is the image that I want you to match, this is what I want you to come into, and it will take this type of work, the work of God in our lives, to make us into the image of Christ Jesus. That is the goal. That is the plan. So God has this work. He's got this, you know, He's got this, you know, this process that He wants to bring into our life. And the goal is to go ahead and make us into the image of His Son. We are to come into the expressed image of Jesus Christ. That word expressed is the original work. The original work. So we are to come into the original work of Jesus Christ, the way He looks in image. The folks in Matthew 7:22 was working for God, but they never ever became the work of God. Unless we allow God to work in our lives, then we can never come in to the original work. And that original work, or the original image, the expressed image, is what Jesus looked like. What Jesus looked like. And that's God's intention for us. God's intention is for us to look just like and act like and function like His Son in that expressed image. I don't know about you, but that just makes me happy tonight. But it's a very, very tough process that God will have to work into our life to be able to bring us into that expressed image. Wow. The expressed image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, for us to work within the law. In the next verse, verse 24, we read, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise builder, which built his house upon a rock. Now, did you notice right there, there's two things moving in that verse. Whoever heareth my sayings and doeth them. Hearing is not enough in our life. Hearing is not enough. Let me say that again. Hearing is not enough. It's not enough in our life. We must hear, and then we must do. We must hear what God is telling us to, you know, do, and then we must follow through and do it. It starts off, therefore. Therefore. Very, very, very important word. When you see this word, therefore, then you know there is a wherefore. There is a connection. There is a therefore that connects those two verses together. The therefore sets the stage for the answer. The therefore sets the stage for the answer to the question, or explains why. Hearing is not enough again. Hearing is not enough again. We must hear and we must do. And we are to work well within the framework of the divine spiritual principles that God has ordained for us. You know, a lot of people say that that God operates in rules. Well, no, God doesn't have any rules. If God would have any rules, the only rule it would be was that God has no rules. But God has divine spiritual principles that He has put in place for us to operate in. And as we operate in them, then we will be successful. Goes back to the investment that we're talking. And, you know, God expects us to operate in the rules or in the divine spiritual principles that He has established in the things of investing into people's lives. Amen. Jesus is not talking about casting out demons in these verses and doing all the wonderful works of prophesying, but Jesus is talking about living and operating inside His instructions that He's been teaching. Oftentimes when we start reading in the Bible, we start seeing demons and prophesying and all that good stuff, we kind of get off track, you know, and that's all supernatural and spiritual, and it's easy to get ourself and our flesh all puffed up, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Beginning in Matthew 7:22, Jesus uses that as a, you know, as an intro, you know, and to show how oftentimes spiritual people get, you know, can really get off track. But Jesus again was talking about living and operating within the instructions that He's been teaching. Whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, they will be the ones that will stand. Whosoever works within the framework that I have established, whosoever keeps my sayings, these are the ones that will be established. Oftentimes we miss, you know, oftentimes we miss what Jesus is saying to us. You know, when we start talking about demons and stuff like that. And a lot of times when people look at these verses, they really kind of focus on the demons and stuff, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Our beliefs will not change God's plans. What we have done or what we will do or even can do for God, all that stuff doesn't matter. But following the teachings of Jesus to the Father's heart is the difference. All other is sinking sand. And so that's what Jesus then He goes into. He says, if you don't follow my framework, if you don't do the things the way that I want things to be done, then it's going to be like building your house and sinking sand. God has established the way we must walk, and He's established the way our walk is to look. And that way is we are to look like His Son, Jesus Christ. We are to build on the rock. Christ is the rock. And just the rock and only the rock. Matthew 24:25, I'll go 24 and then we're going to pick up 25 to kind of tie that thought together. Here and there again. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise builder which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended. Don't you know the rain will descend in your life? I promise you, as long as you are on the earth, you will have rainy days and you will have sunny days. It says, and the rain descended and the floods came. I promise you, as long as you are in the flesh and you live in this world, you're going to have some floods. And the winds will blow and they will be at your house. And don't you know that the wind is going to blow and it's going to be... And that's not really necessarily talking about the house that you live in, like the house we're in tonight, but that is talking about our body, ourself. And it will fail not for those founded upon the rock. So with Jesus, He wasn't talking about the house that you live in there. He was talking about our body, our tabernacle, our tent. And He says, if you follow my rules, if you hearken to what I say and you do them, then I will liken it to you as a wise man who builds his house. We are the house of God. Unless in Psalms it says, unless the Lord builds the house, he who builds the house labors in vain. And that is true. You know, our body is the house. That's what Jesus is talking about. So unless we go ahead and allow God to work in our lives, when the rain and the flood and the wind and all those come, if we're built on Christ the solid rock, we will stand. Jesus was not talking about natural disaster here. These are spiritual principles. And He was talking about life overwhelming us. And I promise you, if you serve the Lord long enough, you will have times in your life that life will almost overwhelm you. But if you are anchored in Christ, if you have God in your life and you hold on to those four anchors of God that I've talked about, then you'll be able to withstand all of the wind and the floods and the rain and all of those things in your life. Amen. Today, people become Christians and ignore the teachings of Jesus, by and large. It's very easy to become a Christian. All you got to do is ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you're a Christian. But then you ignore the teachings of Christ. And that's not His plan. He wants us to be built on His principles, on His divine spiritual principles and His rules. Amen? We will also go outside of the framework. So many Christians, you see them on TV. Now God's going to be glorified in that. Someone will lay hands on somebody and they'll be healed or whatever. You go, oh my gosh, how wonderful! And that is, however, that individual really has operated outside the framework. It's outside the framework that God has established. They will go outside the framework. They themselves shall be saved, but they will suffer loss because they did not work within the framework that Jesus has established. Jesus' teachings are the solid rock on which we are to build a sure foundation. Jesus' teaching is the only foundation that we are to build on. We're not supposed to build on church. We're not supposed to build on anything else. No denomination, nothing. You know, we are supposed to build on the teachings of Jesus and the foundational principles, the divine spiritual principles He has in place. Jesus is the icon. It is an example we are to pattern our lives after. His Father has established Jesus as the framework. Jesus is the framework. His life is the framework. And the divine spiritual principles is what we are to build our life on. Amen? His Father has established Jesus and His teachings as the framework for us to work in so that God will know us. So that God will know us. I bet you those Christians that stood before the Lord in that day, where the Lord said, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you." That word iniquity says that they did things outside the framework. Can you imagine their response, their expression, when they go, "Here I am, all right, I'm ready to go into the joys of the Lord." And the Father said, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you." But Lord, we cast out demons. God said, "I don't care." But Lord, we healed the sick. I don't care. But Lord, we prophesied in your name. We spoke in tongues. We did all of these things. But God said, "I don't care. Depart from me, ye worker of outside the framework. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Wow. But can you imagine? I would imagine the people would drop to their knees and every tongue would confess. And wow, it's just wow. Whew. Oh, Lord, pray that not to us. Let us work within inside the framework. Let us work within the spiritual principles that God has established for our life. Some parting thoughts. Now, God said, "I will build." But before God can build, we must come into the building program. "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth." That is God's building program. Before we can hear and do, we must come into God's building program. And you must bring yourself into this plan. It is our responsibility, it is our duty to come into this plan, into God's building program. It's not God's, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's not Jesus, but it's our responsibility to say, "Lord, I want to come into your building program. I want to be built on Christ. I want to be built on His teachings so that I can operate within the law." We must bring ourselves into this building program if we want to be built, not if we want to be saved. Let me say that again. We must bring ourselves into this building program if we want to be built, not if we want to be saved, but built. Saving, again, is just asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and then we're saved. But if we want to look like Christ, if we want to become like Christ, if we want to function like Christ, then we must come into this building program that God has for each and every one of us. And the program that God has for you is different than it is for me. But we must come into our own little building program so God can work in our life. And He works in our life in this building program through His dealings and judgments in our life. Most Christians do not want to enter into the building program because the old foundation must be pulled down. God does not build an old foundation. Anything that we are built on that is not of God, any divine spiritual principle, any stronghold or whatever in our life that we are built on, have to be religious or whatever, when we come into God's building program, He must pull that down. And I promise you, when God begins to pull down our foundation and what we're built on our religious good works and all that good stuff, it is a very, very painful process. And most Christians do not want that. Most Christians do not want to allow God to work in their life because it is very painful. But it is the only way that we can come into that expressed image of Jesus Christ is if we allow God to build in us His character. It is our choice whether we come into that building program. I mean, God, He doesn't have a dog in that fight because God, you know, wants us to come into His building, you know, into His building program for our life. So God, He doesn't have a vote here. He wants this. This is God's intention for our life. But the question is, are we willing to endure God's dealing and judgments in our life? Are we willing to allow God to bring us into His building program and strip us down of all of our religious thinking and all of our self-seeking and all of our pride in all of those areas? Amen? God is so nice to give us such a simplicity in Him. You know, we don't have to be theologians. All we have to do is just follow Jesus' teaching. By grace are we saved, not by anybody else. Only what He has done. No man cometh unto me except the Spirit draws him. How simple can that be? By grace are ye saved, and that is not yours. It is a wonderful, wonderful gift of God. The return. Now God has ordained, as I said, a return in our investment. As I talked about that last week, and I'll talk a little bit about this week also, that God has ordained a return in our investment. We are to go and bring forth fruit. We are to go and bring forth fruit. God desires that we go ahead and plant and give and plant and give. Not to plant and give, as I said, but to bring forth fruit. Jesus being the first fruit of many brothers and sisters. John 12:24. It's my most favorite verse in the Bible. Is verily, verily. Now that's a double negative. That's a double negative there. Verily, verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Verily, verily means there's no other way. There's no other way. This is the only way. Anytime you see that double negative of verily, verily, it's saying there's no other way. This is, you know, any other way is impossible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, here's the return, it bringeth forth much fruit. The more we can die to ourselves, the more we can die to our desires and our dreams and our plans, the more we can come into that building program that God has for us, then the more of the fruit that can, you know, come out of our life. God has called us not to bring forth much money, much fame, or even a big church, but much fruit. Now, a lot of Christians, oh, I want a big ministry, I want money, I want cars. I was watching TVN during their latest Begathon, and they had this song, and they were all marching, we're marching in prosperity. Well, God didn't call anyone to prosperity. Jesus said, you know, the Bible says that Jesus, you know, foxes have holes and, you know, birds have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay His head. I mean, Jesus had nothing, but he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had everything, but He didn't have money. And it's sad that that the church has kind of got off track here and, you know, talking about prosperity being, you know, something really, really important. That's not what's important. What's important to God is His character and truthfulness and honoring and these things and not money. God is really concerned about our fruit and our character. God is really concerned about our fruit in our character. God saves us. He gives us His goods. And He says, go out and invest. Touch lives. Touch lives of others. Here's my goods. You know, here's the format. This is what I want you to look at. He gives us everything that we need. Everything we need. He gives us the plan. He gives us the image. I mean, He gives us everything that we possibly can need. And then He says, go out and touch lives of others. Invest what I give to you into people. I have ordained that. I have ordained the harvest and that your fruit should remain on the chosen rock. God says, I even ordain this. This is my plan. This is my plan. John 15:16, a wonderful verse, says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit, not Jesus' fruit, He was the first fruit, but your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, He may give you. Now, I say, the end of that verse really, really scares me. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Now, I have never met anybody in my life that could walk in the truth of that verse. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father. Now maybe there's some people out there, I don't know. I know I'm not there. I know that I could be saying, in the name of Jesus, I want this, or I want that. I've never met someone that has that much of God in them, but I guess this is an intention for God, because it's in the Bible, and it's something that He wants to see. But, you know, I know I'm not there. But the beginning of that is really warm and comforting to me, that He wants us to go forth and bring forth fruit, that our fruit shall remain. I think that's probably just as important, if not more important, than being able to, you know, ask of the Father anything that we want, and He may give it to us. Amen? Amen. God says, I pick you to my investment. To invest my goods in the people. God picks us. This is His plan. Amen. And it is God's plans for our fruit and our investment to remain. Why is that? Because we are built on the rock and we produce like kind. We produce like kind. We will produce whatever was planted in us. So if God's Word in the life of God is planted in us, then as we go out and we invest, then we will produce like kind. You can't take an apple seed and put that in the ground and expect an orange tree to grow from that. The apple tree can only grow an apple tree, and the orange seed can only grow an orange seed. And it's the same thing with God. If His life and He, you know, has been invested. If we take what God gives us of God and we invest that, the life of God in the people, then the life of God will grow out of those people. So that our fruit that we produce will be similar to ourselves. And as we produce people, and as we produce people, if we are on the rock, they too shall be on the rock. So if we invest into people's lives and we're on the rock and we're functioning and operating in those divine spiritual principles, then our fruit, if they are fruit coming out from our sacrifices and our work, then they too will be on the rock. And we will see our return. And we will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. Boy, can you imagine hearing that versus depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, and I never knew you? And that's not, you know, whether you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, God has nothing to do with that. God has established the plan, the purpose. He's given us everything. He's given us everything that we need to go ahead to hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's God's intention and it's His plan. And He wants that so much to be brought into our life. But the question is, are we willing to allow God to work in our life to the point through His dealings and judgments that we'll be able to come to that image, that expressed image of Jesus Christ? Unless we are built on the principles as taught by Jesus. Amen? Unless we are built on the principles as taught by Jesus, then we will never, ever, ever, ever be able to come into that expressed image. And our fruit, it will not remain. It will spring up and it will shrivel up. They will be short-lived. Our works, the things that we do, even if we hear, and as we hear and we do things, if our hearing is correct, but if our doing is not correct, they're not based upon the divine spiritual principles, then our fruit will spring up and it'll be short-lived and they will die on the vine. And that is not God's intention. God's intention for us is for us to allow God to work in our life and work and work and work in our life and draw us and, you know, take us to the wedging board and work and work and just, we are the workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says we are the workmanship of God, and God desires just to work in our lives to a great degree. And God desires that we come into that image, you know, that expressed image. And God desires, as He's working in us, to take those things that He's given us, His goods, the work that He's doing in our life. That's what we give. We give the things that God has worked into our life, and the truth that He's given us, and the developed character that He gives you, you know, as we open up to Him. And then that's what we feed to our brothers and sisters. That's what we invest. We invest those good things. And if we do that, then they too will be on that rock when tough times come. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your love, Father. Lord, thank You for this teaching tonight, Father, Lord God. Lord, I just love You and I thank You, Father, Lord God. Just bless everyone that has come out tonight, Father, Lord, and everyone that will hear this over the internet, Father. Lord, we just love You and we just thank You, Father, Lord. Help us, Father, Lord God, to invest, Father, Lord God, Your goods into lives, Father. Lord, allow us to open up our hearts and our lives and endure Your dealing and Your judgments in our life, Father. Bringing us to the truth of ourself, Father, Lord. Working in us, Father, Lord God, so that we have something to invest in the lives of our brothers and our sisters, Father. Money don't last, fame don't last. Things of this earth doesn't last, Father. But Lord, the things that last are eternal things, the investment, Father, Lord God, of Your work in our life. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God. And we just love You and we praise You, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.